right, well, we're kind of halfway home. We're halfway home on the program. We've still got 3 hours here in the station today. We've got our round table today after the program. Going to talk about everything we've already talked about today and then some. Ben likes to throw a few curveballs at you during the round table, but we'll be here till 11.
Don't you have that feeling on Thursdays?
Dread, existential dread, yes. And that I had to meditate through this morning.
Yes, yeah. As our boss Adam walks by.
There he goes.
No, just on our show that like, oh, what should we do, you know, at 8:20 or what should we do at 9:20? And Ben's got Padres topics that we could discuss.
And he's sitting
but he's
on
holding
them
for the brown team.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's a really good point that you make, Paulie. Hmm. He's holding off the good stuff for the round table. Right?
Correct.
Yes, that is correct.
Which is fantastic.
I am so, saving all the good stuff for later.
Great.
Lots of Padres topics we could be getting into right now.
Correct. You can come back at 10 o'clock for the round table.
Please don't.
I mean, some things we've already discussed amongst ourselves, like the Mike Schilt defensive replacements of Jerickson Profar late in the game. And, you know, the pitching, the fifth pitcher's slot, you know, is it still Matt Waldron's job? Or when Joe Musgrove comes back, do you want to see more Randy Vasquez? Do you want to see Adrian Morejon? Would you like to see Johnny Brito? I have a fifth option as well that I'm going to throw out for the roundtable crowd as well when it comes to the Padres in that fifth pitching slot in their rotation. So, yeah, I've got some good topics for it. I'm sorry if I'm saving them. Does that make you mad?
No, not really. Because, I mean, I'm here for the roundtable, so I'm going to be...
See, I save other topics for this show, like what happened at work last night. And I had to make a big decision on the spot that I wasn't expecting. So we've been remodeling the Channel 10 studios for the last year plus, it seems like. Just redoing, and it's almost done. They're in the final stages, last couple of weeks, finishing touches. And apparently, some of those last touches involve the new desks for all the employees. And my boss, our news director, came in and said, do you want a standing desk or a sitting desk?
Oh.
Because I've seen some of our employees now do the old I work standing up, where their computer is all set up high. They stand and, you know, they do their entire shift standing
up.
Better
for you.
Yeah, and that's... And I was put on the spot because I've been told, like my trainer said, you'd probably sit down too much. It's the back problems.
See,
if there's any way you can stand more.
Sitting is the new smoking.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah.
It's like takes years off your life. And I'm like sitting all day. I sit during this show for 4 hours, 5 hours on Thursday. I sit in the car driving to and from work four times a day. And then I usually am sitting at my desk at Channel 10 all day long. I, you know, I exercise, I Peloton, but I sit way too much. And so, you know, on the spot, I had that thought in my head and I go, standing. Give me the standing desk. And I'm now
Your will.
I'm now terrified that I've made this decision and I am going to have to stand for 8 hours and I'm going to be miserable all day long.
Yeah, I'm going to tell
and
you
I don't know. Fancy guy, Ben. Get the desk with the hydraulics. It can go up or down.
You can also just push your... You can get... Yeah.
I was wondering if any of the tier ones have had some experience with the standing
I think you get used to it.
At some point.
I really think you get used to it. I've had a standing board before, and it was great. This is the only sit-down board in this building. And I think they made it for the guy that used to work here.
They did build the studio just for him.
He's a bit of a load or whatever. So I think he wanted to sit back. It's easier for him to look at adult films in between breaks, I think, if you're sitting, because that's what he would like to do between breaks. He would watch adult films. Paulie knows. He heard it many times. Mm. And so I think if you're standing, that's more difficult to do. If you're sitting, maybe you hide something, you know? But I asked them if they could make this a standing board, and they said no. So we have to sit. And I do feel my back, I would like to stand for 4 hours. I would not like to stand for eight.
Now, that was part of my thinking. 8 hours is a long time.
It's a long time.
To be standing all day. Now, I'm sure there will still be chairs around, you know, if I needed to take a break and sit down. That's fine.
So no sitting allowed.
No sitting allowed. I don't think there's a rule against it.
Military.
But I decided,
get your ass up.
So unless someone says, you know, I'm worried someone says, oh, you're going to be absolutely miserable. I could still probably undo it if I tell them today, like, no, I want to keep my sitting desk.
Have you ever fallen asleep on your desk?
Yes.
Okay. Then you're not standing up. Sleeping is not going to be fun for you. You nap at your desk.
Happens a lot less nowadays. Just fall backwards.
Definitely happens a lot less. So.
It's interesting. I would take a stand-up board in here, but we do you a four-hour show. Yeah,
yeah.
In a heartbeat. But, like, with our mics, I can't.
Well, I did have them raise it up so I can like occasionally stand, but I haven't really been doing it lately.
Does that sound
because my computer and everything is way down here.
Right. I can't respond
so
to the
I
chat.
Really need everything to be up if I was going to be up. I could stand for a minute or two, but I can't for the whole show so, just be standing. And
mine doesn't go up at all.
Paul, you couldn't do anything if you were standing. Your mic's too low. The board's way down there.
Reach down.
Need one of those extenders, like, you know, people used to pick things up, claw.
Like a grabber.
Yeah, a grabber.
I don't know. Do you, what about, all right, be honest here. Do you pee when you sit down when you pee?
I do.
I do too sometimes.
I do in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I do most of the time. We're going to get railed for that, by the way, just so you know.
I mean, not at work. I don't, but at home I usually
well,
do.
Well, they have urinals that you can urinate in.
Which is great.
Great.
But I don't have one
of
those at home.
I don't have that at my house. So when I'm at home, I also have a warm seat cover. Like we have a bidet that when your butt hits it, it warms up. So it's nice to sit on a warm thing and do your business.
I mean, I just like I like to look at my phone, even if it's a short trip to the bathroom.
Yeah, 100%.
And I can't do that while I'm standing. You have to... You gotta aim and you gotta be careful if you're standing. It's like, no thanks.
We're getting crushed. By
really?
I mean, we're getting crushed. Yep, this took a turn. This is the best radio. Wait, what? You all three sit when you pee? Yep. Are any of you surprised, by the way? Is anybody really, really surprised?
Is it
out there?
Is it a reflection on masculinity that they're going? That I mean, to me, it's just more comfortable and. You know, I have to take a moment. Just I can take a moment and reflect and breathe. Fine.
Kurt says I'm going to hold a sign. Wood sits, wine he pees. Yes. Goose Gossage isn't surprised, Tony said.
Yeah.
You're a nerd, too.
What do you mean, how do you shake if you sit? You just shake it.
Yeah.
Shake it.
Don't act like you've never done it.
I like to be comfortable, man. I like to be comfortable, and I'll
there are people that have done it, and they're liars.
They're liars.
I don't think I need to Ben-splain going to the bathroom, because most people do it regularly.
Lion's sack.
But
number one.
When you go number two, you have to sit down. There's no...
Obviously.
Number two.
But oftentimes, when you go number two, don't you also go number one at the same time?
Well, our Kez50 says our man cards have been revoked.
So,
I think it takes more of a man.
So you're
to admit
all sitting down and doing it anyway. So you can't say, how do you do it? How could you possibly do it? Well, you do it all the time.
Somebody says this may be the dividing line on blue collars versus white collar. I mean, this is I knew we were going to get killed for this.
Sometimes just sit down and then decide later
what you're going to do? 100%.
Gives you the options.
100%.
You have all the options in front of you when you're sitting down.
Padre guy, shaking while sitting is not difficult by any stretch. It's all... there's a hole and you just... And you do your thing. I don't like... If I'm at home and I'm in the bathroom... If we had a urinal, I'd use it, obviously. If there was one like we have here, I would just go and do my business. But we don't. And I'd pee all over the seat and stuff. It's dark. You got to remember, get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, stumble in there. I'm not standing up.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if I was living on my own and I could just always have the seat up when I'm going in there. But, of course, I don't. So the seat's already down. So then it's the choice of do I want to have to lift it all the way up or just plop down and sit there and just do my business.
I love it. This says, what about a trough situation? Obviously, I have no problem with a trough situation.
The old Qualcomm Stadium situation.
That would be really weird if you had one of those in your
home. Really, that's for sure.
It would be less weird to have a urinal in your home bathroom than the trough.
Steel trough. You used to have, it was just no privacy whatsoever. Those were the worst. At the queue. The absolute worst.
You ever fallen asleep on the toilet? The answer is yes.
Yes.
Yes. 100%.
I have done that as well.
Well, this derailed as usual. Sorry.
How did we get here? Stand up desk to...
To stand, sit down, pee. Yeah, we'll do it. Tiki says we all deserve a jelly bean for that one.
For being honest.
I think everybody else does.
Yeah. Yeah. Just sit sometimes. It's more cozy. I'll wear it. I will. I don't care.
You've got a heated seat.
I have a heated seat. It's the greatest thing of all time. And you can get a little spritz just to make sure that the undercarriage is clean. It's the greatest invention ever.
All right, I just thought of this since we're already down.
Yeah, we're already down.
No resistance here. As funny as it is, one of the biggest fights my wife and I have ever gotten into when we started dating, do you guys ever pee in the shower?
All the time.
I said, yes. And she goes, that's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard. I go, what? Everybody does it. You're lying to me if you say you don't. She goes, never. I go, what? She goes, you're weird. I go, everybody does that. I mean,
just aim at the drain. It's going all the same place.
I said, everybody does it. If you say you don't, you are lying.
Yeah. Yeah, every time. Keith says, Woodsy having a bidet just makes sense. They actually got the bidet, Keith, for my father-in-law who was dying of cancer. And then they just decided to keep it. So I hope you feel bad about yourself. And then I'd never used one until I met my wife. And I said, what is this? And she said, try it. And I said, I'll be in here for an hour. This is the greatest thing of all time. So that's why they did
it. I've heard amazing things about Japanese toilets.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, many, many different functions. And
like smart toilets.
Buttons. Yeah, the different options that you have. I've never used one before, but I'm intrigued.
It's pretty fantastic. And people say, do not pee in the shower. I pee in the shower every morning.
Like, it's not day. Like, oh, I have to pee, I'm going to take a shower.
Right.
But if I'm getting into the shower, or I'm in the shower,
but the sound
and I have
of the
to
water
go,
running
makes it, you want right. to. Yeah.
Sometimes you didn't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. But I'm not getting out of the shower.
Did you, when you were a kid, would your mom ever like turn on the faucet to help you like,
yes.
get going?
Get the yeah. stage fright going? Yeah. It's hard, man. It's hard. The older you get, gentlemen, the more you'll want to sit when you do it. And it's fine. You can admit it. This is a safe place for all of you guys.
What a segment.
What a segment indeed.
All right. Let's check traffic. Then we'll try to get our...
bearings
heads wrapped around something else, maybe something Padres related. Do you want me to break out one of my roundtable topics
no.
just to
no,
change the subject
nope.
at this point?
No, save them for your beloved roundtable.
Nope.
Eno Saris is going to join us in a few minutes, so we can definitely get you ready for that. When
not
we come back,
ask him if he stands or sits.
No,
I'm not
it's Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Awkward radio.
Look how that timed out. A little ZZ Top for you, Ben.
I don't actually think ZZ Top is funny.
Beard,
it's just
gotcha.
You talking about them.
You know the deal me. That it's Billy Gibbons and his brother, and the Gibbons brothers, and then the drummer was named Frank Beard, and he did not have a beard.
That is ironic.
It's a little ironic.
That's irony.
Yeah.
They look beard.
Oh, they look beard. They look beard.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we got him.
Got Eno Saris coming up at 8:35. Andy Ashby will join us at 9:35. So lots to get to the rest of the program. Paulie, as long as you're playing Throwback Thursdays, why don't we dip back into the vault again? Because I know you have a couple
I'm fine
of others.
With
so
that. Okay. The first clip we played in our last hour, you just played a little bit of it there. That was from 3 years ago. We go back 2 years ago this week, and not quite a breaking Ben, but kind of a breaking Ben. And this was as we were wishing a very big congratulations to our buddy Brian O'Grady and his wife on the birth of their first child. You might remember the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I feel like we play this every 3 weeks.
No, nope, this is it. This is the one time
we play it every
year.
May
How fast
for Throwback
is time
Thursday.
Flying?
We are halfway home on a Thursday here on Ben and Woods this morning, and
it was very Titanic.
Like
I thought we were going somewhere romantic here.
Oh, it's genuine.
Little Mila O'Grady, who has made it. What in the world is this?
Paul didn't listen all the way through, apparently,
nope.
to this
is this
poignant Irish song.
This is... Is that... Can you redo and find a nice,
what?
Sweet Irish
Paul,
blessing
what is,
song?
What is the name of this
what
band
that,
that you have picked
on,
for us
on.
Here?
What was that song? That was freaking...
It was...
Wake Me Up?
Yeah, by Avicii.
Because they also have Wake Me Up. It wasn't labeled.
he picked a band called the Red Hot Chili Pipers for our tribute.
Just find an old Irish. God,
genius.
We blew this whole thing.
They're a bagpipe band called the Red Hot Chili Pipers.
Hold on.
That's genius. Sorry, I'm good. I'm good now. Go, please. I'm good.
It is a Breaking Bad.
No, I'm good. So talk. So I will be okay if you talk.
Wanted to do a little tribute. Welcome to the world, Mila O'Grady. You got great parents there. And I'll read you a little Irish blessing to
this,
you
was know, like genuine.
Bring yeah. it in for you. A newborn babe. And this is where I need some music, Paul. Give me some of that Red Hot Chili Pipers again.
Just play it slowly.
Just play it slowly. Because what says Ireland more than the Red Hot Chili Pipers?
Bagpipes more Scottish than...
I don't know.
Those are great.
A newborn babe brings light to the house, warmth to the heart.
That's right.
Hearth. And joy to the soul, for wealth is family, and family is wealth. Everybody dance now.
There's no more joy to the soul that I can get than from the Red Hot Chili Pipers.
They're like a huge band, yeah. by the way. Like huge. Massive. They're a huge, huge band. Look, they sell out like 10,000 seat venues, maybe more. And that, again.
You know what it is? We have a promo of that runs
yeah,
throughout the
it.
Station. You
that's
probably
it.
Just hear that.
That's why
that
you hear promo. It. Yeah.
But that's the whole clip. Holy I do cow. Remember you gave me, like, literally as we're coming back from break.
5 seconds.
Paulie, I need some bagpipe music. And I'm like looking up. And I kind of did have a feeling it might be something funny when it's the Red Hot Chili Pipers. But it's not like I picked them covering an Avicii. I mean, obviously I did. But
right.
it wasn't labeled Wake Me Up.
Right.
It was something else, and we're playing it, and then we're like, wait, that sounds
that
familiar.
So funny, dude. And B.O.G.'s doing great, by the way. I was texting with him the other day. He's got a new baby. They got a baby boy. And we're not going to do a tribute to that one because the first one didn't go so well. But he's doing fantastic and was texting with him. He tells everyone hello and sends his well wishes.
Love B.O.G.
Good to hear. Good to hear. I'm glad he's doing well. I mean, speaking of time flying, so tomorrow will be a week since the Padres traded for Luis Arraez.
Yeah.
First week of Luis Arraez in action. And I'd say it's gone really, really well so far.
I'd say hitting .400 with your new team is pretty good.
Good debut, good first impression, but not just, you know, the hitting, which we expected. He's done that everywhere. Just kind of been infectious with the team.
Yeah, big time culture guy.
Everyone seems to be excited for him. He's excited to be with the San Diego Padres. And I notice, you go, how much difference can one guy make in a lineup? Because you're replacing someone else in the lineup. And even if it's a big upgrade, and you know, Arraez is going to hit .340, .350, and you're replacing a guy who's hitting .250, you're still only talking about one more hit every 10 at-bats
yeah.
than the guy he replaced. That's it. How could that make such a big difference? But it does feel as though it's really lengthened and changed the Padres' lineup a bit. I thought you saw it in yesterday's game where when something happens at the bottom of the order and Luis Campusano gets on or Ha-Sung Kim gets on, and you're now going up to Arraez being on base, that the two-run rally happened after a Luis Campusano hit, and then two outs, one guy on,
yeah,
and he gets a hit, and
yep.
all of a sudden,
and
now you've got
you
two
go.
On, and you got the heart of your order coming up. Padres aren't going to come through, obviously, every single time. Arraez is not going to come through every single time. But if you're giving yourself more options, you know, more opportunities to put runs on the board, if you're giving yourself three, four more opportunities per week, you're going to come through one or two more of those times. And that's probably going to turn into maybe an extra win every week or two, just the way that works. It does actually make a big difference. One more hit every 10 at-bats seems like it's barely anything. How would you even notice that? But it does make a difference in extending your lineup and, you know, just giving yourself a better chance to score runs and win games.
Here's Mike Schilt. He was actually asked about that after the game. Like you said, near in a week. How has it been being able to pencil in Luis Arraez for the last five games?
Yeah, you know what? He just, me and Jimmy McHugh, our advanced guy, we're talking before the game, and he's like, I know this is an obvious statement, but man, our lineup's so much longer with the rise at the top of it, and, you know, it's clearly accurate. You just know he's going to give a good at bat, you know, and he's got bat to ball skills that are quite honestly unparalleled that I've seen. You know, I mean, there's not a place to go for this guy. Even if you're trying to get a chase on him, he can barrel up a ball that's out of his zone. So, you know, it's tremendous to have a guy at the top of that order that can set that tone, and clearly did it. You know, he worked it. He worked a hit by pitch, but he got hit by pitch, and man, he does his job to get us on the board and create some momentum on our side early. But tremendous table setter.
Very hard to hear him with the Space Jam theme music.
Is that what that was? Yeah. Space Jam theme?
Come on and slam.
So it's either that or a cricket in his home office. So that's what we're treated with.
So I am curious. Eno Saris is going to join us next. And one of the things I want to ask him about, we've talked about it, the sabermetrics guys, the analytics guys, don't generally give Luis Arraez a ton of value.
Yeah.
Because that extra hit that he's getting, you know, every 10 at-bats, well, he doesn't walk as much because he makes so much contact.
Yes.
So a guy who hits 250 but walks one more time every 10 at-bats is essentially, in their mind, the same guy as Luis Arraez, except that guy who's hitting 250 may also be doing it with more. I'd rather have the guy who's hitting 250, walking an extra time, and hitting for, you know, more extra bases than I would having Luis Arraez.
And listen, I don't know that there's anything wrong with that scenario other than the one you just mentioned. The being able to extend an inning. Being able to, what if Campy and Kim get on? Right? And then you need somebody to hit a sac fly. And who better? Who better than Luis Arraez, bat to ball? You know, that's where it's going to really show up, Benny, is his ability to do, to put the ball in play when we need it to. The walk is great. As we know, the walk is great. You need guys on base for the heart of your order. But man, if you can get those productive outs as well, who's a better guy at that than him?
Eno's very smart. I am very curious as to what
have we not asked him about Luis yet?
No. Last time was last Thursday. We didn't know about the trade until Friday. So this will be our first chance to really probe.
You're right.
Eno Saris.
We're going to probe him.
Get
ready.
Okay.
With questions about Luis Arraez and
thought
more.
We were just interviewing him.
Coming up next.
I didn't know what was going to happen.
Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. The Dodgers are coming to town. I feel like Paul Revere or something. The Dodgers are coming tomorrow through Sunday. Let's turn out, support the Padres, create a true home field advantage. Limited tickets are available for all three Dodger games at Padres.com/tickets. And don't forget, you're still listening for your chance to win special sounder between now and 10 o'clock. End of the program. We got Eno Saris standing by. Our smart baseball segment coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
And our first chance to chat with the Athletics' Eno Saris since the Padres did acquire Luis Arraez last week. Eno, good morning. Welcome back to Ben and Woods.
Thank you. How are you doing?
Good.
We're pretty good, yeah. Pretty good week for the Padres. You gave kind of a tepid endorsement to the trade on social media.
That's a great word.
You know, I don't know where he's going to play. I guess DH. Is it going to hurt? Maybe. I don't know. I want to get some of your thoughts.
I'd like to put an A+ on it.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That's better than tepid.
That's
for
way
sure.
Better than tepid.
My question was, because a lot of people who focus on numbers don't really give Luis Arraez as much value as maybe, you know, the scout types. You just look at his tremendous bat-to-ball skills and go, there's a baseball hitter for you. But he, you know, doesn't walk a ton, doesn't hit for a lot of power, and a lot of guys will say, yeah, he's not as valuable as you think he is. So I'm curious to get your opinions, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things going on here. I think a lot of the reason I'm into it is because I don't think they give up much. Jacob Marcy's top end exit velo, his maximum exit velo in the Arizona Fall League was 101. The average in Major League Baseball is 108. You know, actually, it's for regulars, it's like 110. So I don't think he has the power of a Major League regular. And somebody like, you know, Jackson Merrill, who we're hoping grows into his power, has already hit the ball way harder than that. So You know, that's one thing. Dylan Head has performed, has not played a lot, but has performed badly as a 19-year-old in A-ball. And when I looked at it, the names that I came up with that performed as badly as him, even in a small sample, that have in A-ball that have made the major leagues, and even at his age, because I know he's 19. The names are Tucapita Marcano, Wenciel Perez, Oswaldo Cabrera, Jose Barrero, Rodolfo Castro, and Mickey Moniak. They're not good names. The only name on here that's exciting is O'Neill Cruz. So if it's like a 1 in 15 chance they gave up O'Neill Cruz, I don't know. I'm willing to do it. On the other end, Luis Arraez does have his flaws. He is probably the DH for them. He's not a great defender. He's not going to supplant anybody at second or first defensively. He can play there, but we have better options. The Padres have better options there. What matters, though, is that they paid down his whole salary. And we know that the Padres are looking to improve without adding salary. So that's great. Next year, yes, he'll be a little bit more expensive. He'll kind of be paid. He'll still be paid a little bit less than he's worth. He's still a three-win player, somebody that can be an all-star, but usually is just below that. But you got like a major league regular. And then the last part is this. The closer you get to the better the stuff is that you're facing. I've seen research on this. The better the stuff is you're facing, the more important bat-to-ball skills are than anything else. You know, like hitting is a combination of bat-to-ball, swing decisions, and bat speed. And bat speed is like maybe the most important thing, you know, overall. But as you get up to the higher stuff, bat-to-ball becomes more important. And so, you know, when you get into the playoffs, for example, or when you're facing an ace, it's great to have a guy who can get you a single, you know, like it's a good addition to the lineup. And I don't think it costs him that much.
I love it. And, it's pretty much what we've been saying all week, talking to Eno Saris here on Ben and Woods this morning. Wanted to talk about the piece that you just dropped. I thought it was fascinating. It's such a cool new way to look at, the luck, right? And the sluggers, the people in baseball that are seeing the nastiest pitches, the teams that are running into, the toughest pitchers. And I did see our Padres on there, right now. And you do say about the Padres using locations and stuff, the Padres and Phillies, the only top 10 offenses that have performed this well, despite seeing pitches with top 10 quality. That's, in my opinion, that, and I feel like I've seen that from them this year. They have run into a lot of big, big top of the rotation arms already.
Yeah, and it's a quirk of the schedule, because if you just think about it as simply as this, like if you've got five starting pitchers in a rotation and you have three game series, there's always some quote unquote luck as to who you get.
Yeah,
right? Like
no doubt,
you could get the back end or you get the front end of a rotation. And yeah, the Padres have seen the sixth toughest pitches in baseball so far. And while, you know, I don't think the Angels have seen the toughest, I don't think that they're necessarily, going to fare much better in the future. Cause you know, that lineup's not very good. There are some teams on here that have faced really tough pitching and that I think will do better in the future. So the Blue Jays, offense is 24th right now. They face the third best pitching. You know, the Giants is 23rd. I think they'll be a little better going forward. And the Rays are 19th. So some teams have sort of run into really good pitching and have struggled a little bit. The Padres have gone right through that. And I think it's due to having a diverse lineup. They've got thump and they've got contact and they've got good swing decisions.
And that's what you talked about. Sorry about that. You talked about for years is this lineup, you know, the way it was constructed last year. We had that conversation a year ago of, yeah, I don't really see this changing, you know, and the different swing planes and paths and different approaches by the guys and guys, of course, finding some resurgence like Profar and Cronenworth has been huge for this team. But you're right. It's a different looking lineup with different types of swings and different types of hitters.
Yeah. I think that's key. Like, you know, you've got your low ball hitters, your high ball hitters, you got your contact guys, you got your swing decision guys. The one place that it might be a little bit, softer than maybe it has been in the past is when it comes to power.
Yeah.
If you talk about top end power, You've got Tatis, and then Xander and Manny have not hit the ball as hard this year as they have in the past, which suggests a slight decline in bat speed. And if you look at the aging of bat speed, that would make sense. So, you know, I still have confidence in Manny to, you know, make the most of the bat speed he's got. So I don't know that I'm predicting his decline already. It's just sort of inevitable. And I think he has enough power to be the second biggest power source in this lineup and to you know, hit enough over the fence. In the meantime, they've made their contact a lot better.
Talking to Eno Saris from The Athletic, it's our weekly Smart Baseball segment. And talking about nasty stuff, Dylan Cease's stuff was very plus yesterday and has really been so all season long. Now, he gave an interview to reporters in Chicago and talked about how he was pretty miserable last year with the White Sox, and I don't know how much that impacted his own performance and numbers, but what have you kind of seen? Is there anything explaining how much better Dylan Cease has been since he joined the Padres compared to the down year he had last year with the White Sox?
I don't know. I mean, in terms of what he throws and when, he's become even more of a two-pitch pitcher than he was in the past. He's thrown the curve even less this year. I think one thing that's underrated that hasn't shown up a ton yet, but he has thrown 36 sweepers and 17 cutters. And I think those are going to become more important as the year goes on because he will use those when the fastball command is not there or to get a swing and miss when people have keyholed him on the slider or something like that. So, in terms of like, you know, raw movement on his fastball, you know, it's about the same. The slider is about the same. It's these extra tools that he hasn't used a ton of yet that I think are slightly important and will become more important as the season goes on.
Scale of 1 to 10, how grossed out were you by the Wilson Contreras injury the other night?
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
So gross.
I watched it once. You know, I could only watch it once, man. That was it for me.
My kid, like, broke his wrist, you know, and, like, you know, I got flashes of that, like, oh, that angle's not good, you know.
Do you agree with me that that is just the perfect storm of catcher and hitter at the wrong time? J.D. Martinez, kind of notorious for being back in the box. Wilson Contreras, and, you know, that a lot of staffs are doing right now, going out and trying to steal those strikes. Just the perfect storm. No blame really assessed either way.
Who do you
blame? Contreras?
No. No. I blame Cardinals.
Yeah.
I blame analytics a little bit.
Yep.
I just blame sort of the application of analytics without sort of really thinking about what is at stake, you know, in terms of humans, you know. And, you know, the average bat speed in baseball right now is 75 miles an hour, right? So take a bat at 75 miles an hour to a head. You know, we see this all the time, right?
Yeah, the backswing.
Backswings and stuff.
Oh, it's gnarly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if I hit you, if you put a helmet on, I hit you in the head 75 miles an hour at bat, like, you're going to get a concussion or you're going to at least feel it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
What happens if I get you somewhere where there's no padding? Well, I'm going to break your arm. Like, I mean, this is like assault. You know what I mean? Like, people have to assault each other and they don't even get it going 75 miles an hour. So, you know, I think the cost was too high to go after strikes that way. And then secondly, the reason I don't just blame only the Cardinals is that this is across baseball. Right now, we are getting 10 times the number of catcher interferences calls per game than we did in the early 2000s. I mean, we spent like 2000 to 2010 averaging 0.006. Catcher interferences per game. We're at 0.06 now. And that doesn't seem like a big deal, but it's 10 times more. Like, we've done as much as we did in 2022 in the first 2 months, you know? And it's a meteoric rise. And I'm a proponent of some sort of catcher's box that they have to sit in. I mean, just because if you have an edge, people will do this even if it has a human cost. We know this with elbows and Tommy John, you know? It's like, you know, we're going to push as hard as we can to get every strike, to get every batted ball, to get every strikeout, whatever we need, like, we're going to push for it. So you got to draw a little box in the sand and say, catcher, you got
to
be in this.
Just to be clear, we had this discussion yesterday in case everyone isn't following. The Dodgers are coming to town. I feel like Paul Revere or something. The Dodgers are coming tomorrow through Sunday. Let's turn out, support the Padres, create a true home field advantage. Limited tickets are available for all three Dodger games at Padres.com/tickets. And don't forget, you're still listening for your chance to win special sounder between now and 10 o'clock, end of the program. We got Eno Saris standing by. Our Smart Baseball segment coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
And our first chance to chat with the Athletics' Eno Saris since the Padres did acquire Luis Arraez last week. Eno, good morning. Welcome back to Ben and Woods.
Thank you. How are you doing?
Good. We're pretty good, yeah. Pretty good week for the Padres. You gave kind of a tepid endorsement to the trade on social media.
That's a great word.
You know, I don't know where he's going to play. I guess DH. Is it going to hurt? Maybe. I don't know. I want to get some of your thoughts.
I'd like to put an A+ on it.
Okay, yes. All right, that's better than tepid.
That's way better than tepid.
My question was because a lot of people who focus on numbers don't really give Luis Arraez as much value as maybe, you know, the scout types who just look at his tremendous bat to ball skills and go, there's a baseball hitter for you. But he, you know, doesn't walk a ton, doesn't hit for a lot of power, and a lot of guys will say, yeah, he's not as valuable as you think he is. So I'm curious to get your opinions, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things going on here. I think a lot of the reason I'm into it is because I don't think they give up much. Jacob Marcy's top-end exit velo, his maximum exit velo in the Arizona Fall League was 101. The average in Major League Baseball is 108. Actually, it's for regulars, it's like 110. So I don't think he has the power of a Major League regular. And somebody like, you know, Jackson Merrill, who we're hoping grows into his power, has already hit the ball way harder than that. So, you know, that's one thing. Dylan Head has not played a lot, but has performed badly as a 19-year-old in A-ball. And when I looked at it, the names that I came up with that performed as badly as him, even in a small sample, that have in A-ball that have made the major leagues, and even at his age, because I know he's 19. The names are Tucapita Marcano, Wenciel Perez, Oswaldo Cabrera, Jose Barrero, Rodolfo Castro, and Mickey Moniak. They're not good names. The only name on here that's exciting is O'Neill Cruz. So if it's like a 1 in 15 chance they gave up O'Neill Cruz, I don't know. I'm willing to do it. On the other end, Luis Arraez does have his flaws. He is probably the DH for them. He's not a great defender. He's not going to supplant anybody at second or first defensively. He can play there, but we have better options. The Padres have better options there. What matters, though, is that they paid down his whole salary. And we know that the Padres are looking to improve without adding salary. So that's great. Next year, yes, he'll be a little bit more expensive. He'll kind of be paid. He'll still be paid a little bit less than he's worth. He's still a 3-win player, somebody that can be an all-star, but usually is just below that. But you got like a major league regular. And then the last part is this. The closer you get to the better the stuff is that you're facing. I've seen research on this. The better the stuff is you're facing, the more important bat to ball skills are than anything else. You know, like hitting is a combination of bat to ball, swing decisions, and bat speed. And bat speed is like maybe the most important thing, you know, overall, but as you get up to the higher stuff, bat to ball becomes more important. And so, you know, when you get into the playoffs, for example, or when you're facing an ace, it's great to have a guy who can get you a single, you know, like it's a good addition to the lineup, and I don't think it costs them that much.
I love it. And it's pretty much what we've been saying all week. Talking to Eno Saris here on Ben and Woods this morning. Wanted to talk about the piece that you just dropped. I thought it was fascinating. It's such a cool new way to look at the luck, right? And the sluggers, the people in baseball that are seeing the nastiest pitches, the teams that are running into the toughest pitchers. And I did see our Padres on there right now. And you do say about the Padres using locations and stuff, the Padres and Phillies, the only top 10 offenses that have performed this well despite seeing pitches with top 10 quality. That's, in my opinion, that, and I feel like I've seen that from them this year. They have run into a lot of big, big top of the rotation arms already.
Yeah, and it's a quirk of the schedule, because if you just think about it as simply as this, like if you've got five starting pitchers in a rotation and you have three game series, there's always some quote unquote luck as to who you get.
Yeah,
right? Like
no doubt,
you could get the back end or you get the front end of a rotation. And yeah, the Padres have seen the sixth toughest pitches in baseball so far. And while, you know, I don't think the Angels have seen the toughest, I don't think that they're necessarily, going to fare much better in the future because, you know, that lineup's not very good. There are some teams on here that have faced really tough pitching and that I think will do better in the future. So the Blue Jays, offense is 24th right now. They face the third best pitching. You know, the Giants is 23rd. I think they'll be a little better going forward. And the Rays are 19th. So some teams have sort of run into really good pitching and have struggled a little bit. The Padres have gone right through that. And I think it's due to having a diverse lineup. They've got thump and they've got contact and they've got good swing decisions.
And that's what you talked about. Oh, sorry about that. You talked about for years is this lineup, you know, the way it was constructed last year. We had that conversation a year ago of, yeah, I don't really see this changing, you know, and the different swing planes and paths and different approaches by the guys. And guys, of course, finding some resurgence like Profar and Cronenworth has been huge, huge for this team. But you're right. It's a different looking lineup with different types of swings and different types of hitters.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's keys. Like, you know, you've got your low ball hitters, your high ball hitters, you got your contact guys, you got your swing decision guys. The one place that it might be a little bit softer than maybe it has been in the past is when it comes to power.
Yeah.
If you talk about top end power, you've got Tatis, and then Xander and Manny have not hit the ball as hard this year as they have in the past, which suggests a slight decline in bat speed. And if you look at the aging of bat speed, that would make sense. So, you know, I still have confidence in Manny to, you know, make the most of the bat speed he's got. So I don't know that I'm predicting his decline already. It's just sort of inevitable. And I think he has enough power to be the second biggest power source in this lineup and to you know, hit enough over the fence. In the meantime, they've made their contact a lot better.
Talking to Eno Saris from The Athletic. It's our weekly Smart Baseball segment. And talking about nasty stuff, Dylan Cease's stuff was very plus yesterday and has really been so all season long. Now, he gave an interview to reporters in Chicago and talked about how he was pretty miserable last year with the White Sox, and I don't know how much that impacted his own performance and numbers, but what have you kind of seen? Is there anything explaining how much better Dylan Cease has been since he joined the Padres compared to the down year he had last year with the White Sox?
I don't know. I mean, in terms of what he throws and when, he's become even more of a two-pitch pitcher than he was in the past. He's thrown the curve even less this year. I think one thing that's underrated that hasn't shown up a ton yet, but he has thrown 36 sweepers and 17 cutters. And I think those are going to become more important as the year goes on because he will – use those when the fastball command is not there or to get a swing and miss when people have keyholed him on the slider or something like that. So in terms of like, you know, raw movement on his fastball, you know, it's about the same. The slider is about the same. It's these extra tools that he hasn't used a ton of yet that I think are slightly important and will become more important as the season goes on.
Scale of 1 to 10, how grossed out were you by the Wilson Contreras injury the other night?
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
So gross.
I watched it once. You know, I could only watch it once, man. That was it for me.
My kid, like, broke his wrist, you know, and, like, you know, I got flashes of that, like, oh, that angle's not good, you know?
Do you agree with me that that is just the perfect storm of catcher and hitter at the wrong time? J.D. Martinez, kind of notorious for being back in the box. Wilson Contreras, and, you know, that a lot of staffs are doing right now, going out and trying to steal those strikes. Just the perfect storm. No blame really assessed either way.
Who do you
blame? Contreras?
No. No. I blame Cardinals.
Yeah.
I blame analytics a little bit.
Yep.
I just blame sort of the application of analytics without sort of really thinking about what is at stake, you know, in terms of humans, you know. And, you know, the average bat speed in baseball right now is 75 miles an hour, right? So take a bat at 75 miles an hour to a head. You know, do we see this all the time, right?
Yeah, the backswings
and stuff.
Oh, it's gnarly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if I hit you, if you put a helmet on, I hit you in the head 75 miles an hour with bat, like, you're going to get a concussion or you're going to at least feel it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
What happens if I get you somewhere where there's no padding? Well, I'm going to break your arm. Like, I mean, this is like assault. You know what I mean? Like, people have to assault each other, and they don't even get it going 75 miles an hour. So, you know, I think the cost was too high to go after strikes that way. And the reason I don't just blame only the Cardinals is that this is across baseball. Right now, we are getting 10 times the number of catcher interferences calls per game than we did in the early 2000s. I mean, we spent like 2000 to 2010 averaging 0.006 catcher interferences per game. We're at 0.06 now. And that doesn't seem like a big deal, but it's 10 times more. Like, we've done as much as we did in 2022 in the first 2 months, you know? And it's a meteoric rise. And I'm a proponent of some sort of catcher's box that they have to sit in. I mean, just because if you have an edge, people will do this even if it has a human cost. We know this with elbows and Tommy John, you know? It's like, you know, we're going to push as hard as we can to get every strike, to get every batted ball, to get every strikeout, whatever we need, like, we're going to push for it. So you got to draw a little box in the sand and say, catcher, you got
to
be in this.
Just to be clear, we had this discussion yesterday in case everyone isn't following. Catcher's trying to steal those pitches, framing, reaching out to you know, basically fool the umpire a little bit better.
Like catch it as close to the plate as possible.
And that's why this is happening with more catcher's interference.
Moves, you know?
Now, umpires could enforce the back of the batter's batting zone a little bit better
as well. Yeah.
Stop erasing the chalk line and moving back another inch or two, which we see batters do. Ultimately, though, and I made this point yesterday, an electronic strike zone ends it completely. There would be no more pitch framing at all, right?
Yeah,
you know, if they did that.
Unfortunately, when we implemented an electronic strike zone in the minors, guess what happened? Strikeouts soared and walks soared, and nobody wants that.
Nobody wants
that in Major League Baseball. And so the most likely thing that's going to happen is a challenge system like in tennis, where when you have the double faults and it's the same Hawkeye system that they have in tennis. It's actually kind of fun. If you ever seen challenge happen in minor
league. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's awesome.
The guy hits his helmet. Everyone looks up at the screen and they're like, oh, strike.
I'm all in.
But pitch framing remains something that is valuable because you can't challenge every pitch. So if you steal a few, you still get extra strikes. So that wouldn't go away then.
It wouldn't fix this problem.
Though. Eno, before you go, you have been charting some of the minor league stuff for Paul Skeens.
Oof.
Getting the call up this weekend, weather permitting, for the Pittsburgh Pirates on Saturday. How is he projecting now as he gets up to the big leagues? I mean, what are you looking for from this guy when he makes his debut?
Oh, Lord. We have projections based on stuff, and we have his minor league stuff. So we already have him for a 3.48 ERA, which, you know, depending on your frame of reference may not sound that amazing, but right now the league ERA is like 4.4. So, and to debut like that, like, for example, other people projected for around the same ERA are Garrett Cole, Fromber, Freddie Peralta,
So elite right away is what you're looking
upper
for.
Upper echelon right away.
Yeah, jumps right in. In fact, the Triple A, there's a story up today about Ken Rosenthal, the pitching there has gotten worse. People are just rushing through Triple A. And there's so many injuries that we've used up all our Triple A arms. I have the Stuff Plus number. I only have like 10 or 9 or 10 pitchers in Triple A that have above average Stuff Plus. And those are mostly like 101, 102. Then there's Nick Pivetta with like a 111 and Paul Skeens like a 120. So, and Nick Pivetta's on like rehab, right? He's a major leaguer. So, it's really thinning out, and Skeens, maybe Jackson Jobe and Cade Horton are really the only last. That's the Cubs Cade Horton and the Tigers Jackson Jobe. Those are the last three like really plus pitching prospects in the minors right now.
Eno, great stuff as always. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you again next Thursday. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me.
The Athletics. Eno Saris, our super polished, yet to be named Smart Beast Baseball Weekly segment, always Beastball, brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, and thanks to 7 Mile as always for their support. Love having Eno on every week, and he was pretty positive on Luis Arraez.
Yeah. Love it. Where did you see the tepid response?
He said, let's see, in his tweet about it when it happened, he said that, generally positive, he said. It wasn't like overwhelmingly good. Let's see if I can find it. I had it here a second ago.
Just his initial reaction.
Yeah, he said if it does hurt, it'll be Jacob Marcy. But I guess as he's gone through and looked at Marcy's numbers,
that's,
he was
interesting,
like,
man,
don't think Marcy's really gonna hurt. Don't think Dylan Head losing him is really gonna hurt, and getting the money paid. I think he probably tweeted that out before he found out about the money as well.
That was huge.
Just ends up real positive in his mind for the San Diego Padres. So that was good news from his perspective.
Batting 400 with his new squad, and of course, biggest challenge he's going to face so far is going to be on Friday night when Tyler Glasnow toes the slab against him. But you feel like he's one of the best hitters in the league.
Yeah, we'll look ahead a little bit. Obviously, we'll do so more tomorrow. But they just went against a tough guy in Imanaga. They faced, as Eno said, they faced some of the toughest pitching already in baseball.
Yep.
So, they're used to seeing good stuff. They've seen Glasnow. So here he comes again. We got 1 hour to go. Paulie's got a Rindle report coming up next. Don't go away. Bennett Woods continuing here on 97.3 The Fan.